Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch. With Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Warning. This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Vuse is smooth, consistent, and intentionally simple. It's vapor done right. Because when you're free to focus on what really matters, everything just clicks. Find Vuse, that's V-U-S-E, Vuse, at your favorite convenience store.
Underage sale prohibited. Vuse is a vapor product. Website restricted to age 21 plus tobacco consumers. Copyright 2026, RJRVC.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Let's touch on another case here that is about to be going to trial February 23rd. The curtains rise on the Corey Richen Show as your feature presentation. And the defense attorneys face an uphill battle here, but they've got some ammo. A key witness has recanted. Evidence of alleged abuse was excluded. No fentanyl was ever found in the home. And there's a lot. There's also Corey's internet search history, comments that he made. Sure. Her text messages, none of it works out really well in her favor over there. But there's two sides to every story, and you got to argue both. Defense attorney Bob Mata, host of the podcast Defense Diaries, is with us. Big thing on this case that the defense has been pointing to as we're leading up to trial is the relationship of how Eric got the fentanyl in his system. Yeah. It starts back, way back, with Robert Crozer. He's a man, prosecutors say, supplied the fentanyl to Corey's housekeeper, who then allegedly gave the fentanyl to Corey in October of 25. Crozer recanted how he, what he sold. He claims it was oxy, not fentanyl.
Oh, and
he
says that's so different.
Yeah, well, it is in toxicology.
I mean, it is, you know, yes, I mean, but
and the problem too is it's street, and with street, almost all oxy at the time, the sources say also had fentanyl in it. So there's that problem too. So saying that he was detoxing and out of it during the original 23 statement, the judge denied bail, saying a jury could credit either version. So this is kind of a, you know, it's a bit of a wart on the case. His original testimony says, yes, I did. Now, no, I didn't. It was oxy. He does say he sold something. So it's not like a complete nothing burger here. Bob, where do you think this lands?
Yeah, I mean, frankly, if you're the defense, the recantation is the biggest development in the case for them. You know, them. I mean, like you said, at least it gives them a little bit of ammo, but you have to handle it with like surgical precision. You know what I mean? You can't go in and just kind of bat that thing around. And this is the way I'd see it playing out is, you know, I as a defense attorney, I don't necessarily need the jury to believe Crozer. I need the jury to not know which version of Crozer to believe. You know, that's reasonable doubt in its purest form. So, you know, because like in 2023, when he says he sells the fentanyl, you know, and then in 2025 says it's oxy and that he's detoxing and he's out of it. Can't trust anything that I said back then. you know, I've had these witnesses on the stand in terms of, you know, like meth addicts saying, oh, I know what I said back then, but you can't trust that shit.
It's not a great witness for either side, really, you know, but it is, but it is something for the defense.
Yeah.
And so they got to put an ice on that and put some sprinkles on it and make it look a hell of a lot better than it actually is.
And it is, because, I mean, when you think about the prosecutor's entire chain in terms of how the fentanyl ends up in court, in Corey's hands, it is supplier to housekeeper to Corey. Right. Mm-hmm. And that depends on fentanyl being the substance that was sold. You know, I mean, that's what they have him dying from. If Crozier is now saying it was oxy, then the prosecution's theory of how Corey got the fentanyl falls apart, you know, cause like, remember in theory, Tony, we're not talking about a jury that knows everything about the fucking case. Like, so everything that was found admissible. And I happen to love that judge on that case.
I think
he is an incredible judge. So well-read. He understands the law. And he has been very even-handed in his rulings in terms of what he's kept in and what he's kept out. And ultimately, you know, the defense, though, if they lean too heavy on Crozier, the prosecution will argue that he recanted because he was pressured, because he wanted to minimize his own involvement, or you know, because he's an unreliable person, one of the two. And ultimately, they're going to say to the jury, look, you don't need to believe, you know, you don't need to believe Crozier at all. The fentanyl in Eric Richards' body speaks for itself. You got it somehow. So, because then what is she having to lean on? The walk the dog letter? You know, where she fucking spells it out, you know, like, oh, well, you know, he was getting from the farmhands, you know, he was, this was his own shit, you know, and I had nothing to do with it. Yeah. How that's going to play out. It's going to be really interesting.
Bob, I want to ask you this question. This is, there's obviously different ways of testing people for drug use. And obviously the fentanyl showed up in his system in toxicology. What about the hair? What about his hair follicles? Did anyone ever take a look at that? Could anybody go take a look at that? I know he hasn't been cremated, but here's why I ask: to show a pattern of illicit fentanyl use, if there is one, or if there is not one, because it could work either way for either side. If it shows, yes, he's, because this test should be able to show that. Yep. If there has been a lot of use over time, it would show, okay, he's a regular user of this. The likelihood that he overdosed himself goes way the hell up and is a boon to Corey Richens. Or it shows he's not a user at all, because Corey's already, they're trying to get evidence in as evidence of bad behavior of, well, back in high school, he used some drugs. I mean, these are people in, I don't know their exact, they're 30s, I believe, or 40s. So it's like, yeah, we did a lot of things 20 years ago that we don't do today. So that's a pretty weak argument, but it could work either way. Is this a lever neither side wants to pull because nobody's sure of what it may reveal?
I mean, maybe. I mean, that's the best rationale as to why it hasn't been done.
Yeah, I mean, because I've heard nothing of it. It's not even like, I just like, did they think of it? Or is it like,
I mean, they had to have fucking thought of it, right?
There's so many things that come out here where like, oh, they didn't think of that, did they?
You know? I mean, yeah, it's, but like that, that seems insane though, right? I mean, like, look, if I'm handling drug cases and my guy like got probation and he's got to go to probation, he's got to drop weekly or monthly or whatever the case may be, they're always doing urine analysis, right? They're doing a urine test. You know, for that purposes, in terms of probation situation, you know, testing the hairs is cost prohibitive for them. When you're trying to solve a murder, like cost can't be.
Yeah.
Like that is not the impediment. It's got to be something else, which leads me back to what you said. Is this a thing where one of those situations where neither side really wants to know what the answer is because it could fuck either one of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which, I mean,
this is showing rings on the tree, not just who pissed on the tree.
Exactly. You know?
Exactly.
And that pattern is what would really, I think, answer a lot here. I mean, it doesn't definitively show anything, but it would show a pattern of illicit drug use. And if he's not a regular illicit user of fentanyl, most people don't just like, hey, it's fentanyl day.
You know? Well, yeah, but, it's Saturday night. I'm really looking for something to do. Let's go find some fentanyl.
We'll start with some fentanyl night, big fentanyl night. You know,
but Also, I mean, going back to the Crozer saying, I was selling Oxy. Well, does it really matter what he even said he was selling or what he thought he was selling or what he did sell or didn't sell when the reality of the situation is so much of this shit on the street is laced with fentanyl? You don't know what the... I mean, it's not. He's not sitting there like in the fucking lab in his house, like breaking it down, going, oh, shit, there's a percentage of fentanyl in here.
I mean,
no, he's
France.
Selling whatever shit he has.
Right.
So he doesn't know if it's laced with it. A crazy high percentage is, and it's killing people everywhere. Yep. So the idea that he thought he sold Oxy or even did sell Oxy, and then maybe the maid or the housekeeper said, yeah, it's fentanyl, and Corey's too dumb to fucking know or care, and it's like, put it in the Moscow Mule. End result is the same. It's just the semantics that of people arguing what they think they're getting and not getting. People think they're getting Oxy every day off the street and it's fentanyl and they die.
Right. And that, like, to me, that's on the state to go through his chain of supply. Like, because you don't know who he gets his shit from. And I'm talking about Crozier. Yeah. If Crozier gets his shit from a dude and that dude gets it from a dude and it's been stepped on by two different people making its way through the supply chain, you know, you would think that that would be a way for the state to go, all right, well, we're going to squeeze this guy to give up who his supplier is, you know, so that you can kind of follow it down the chain ultimately to where, say, you know, like they're having the conversation with whoever his guy is and they're saying, look, we're not trying to fuck with you. Like we're trying, we got bigger fish to fry than you. We need to know, do you, when you're baking your shit up, you know, are you cutting it with fentanyl, you know, which is very, like you said, it's super common because it's cheap. And, you know, people feel it. You know, the problem is it's always dosage. That's what's killing people because it's very, you know, and these are just fucking like drug dealers, not science lab guys.
No.
So, you know, they're cooking this shit up and they're sending it out into the world and they've laced it with too much shit.
And you don't have portion control, basically. And that's what fucking kills people.
Yeah.
And they don't care. So, yeah, I mean, and it was street.
You know what it does it doesn't necessarily solve the case, but it for the defense, if it came back that there was a history that goes back a certain period of time, it certainly establishes some form of reasonable doubt.
If I were Corey,
their entire theory of the case, the state's.
If I were Corey and I knew my husband had been a regular user of this, I'd be fucking exhuming the body.
No doubt.
I mean, it'd be like, even if you did it, I'd be exhuming the body to put that piece of doubt in there. Obviously, it would have to be admitted at this point in time, but it would be, I don't know. I think it could tell a lot. But wait, there's more. Corey's search history. After Eric's death, that kind of tells another story. What if what is a lethal dose of fentanyl? Okay, I mean, I could see someone Googling that. But if you were like, well, what? Curious? Yeah. If someone is poisoned, what does it go down on a death certificate as? Okay, a little more curious, but you're still trying to figure out how this works. Luxury prisons for the rich in America.
That's a problem.
How to permanently delete information from an iPhone remotely.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it gets a little dicey there. What's the defense play here on the text?
I mean, let's just be frank about it. Those text messages to me are the strongest evidence the state has. I mean, words are hard. Words are damaging, you know?
Yeah.
And didn't she text if he could just go away? I mean, it's not really a confession. As somebody who's going through a divorce myself, believe me, the shit I've said in text messages, you could hold up in a court of law, but my soon-to-be ex is still walking the face of the earth, so that doesn't make me a murderer.
Yeah, and there are some texts, and I don't have them directly in front of me, but you're exactly right, Stacey. There are some where it's, I wish, you know, it would be so great if, like, this could all go away, or he could go away. It doesn't say murder or anything like that, but then there's another one, and this is the more damning one, and I just did a piece on it this morning, but it's something to the effect of, by Friday... like all this will be
gone.
Something of significance will change. It's denoting a time period before something very dramatic happened. And that is the damning one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the other stuff, like the stuff post-death, you can contextualize, right? You can say, sure. Oh, you know, look, man, like her husband just died. She's in shock. She's getting calls from people that are saying that she fucking killed him. You know, unexpectedly, people are whispering about poison, all this shit. And the first thing that a lot of people would do in that situation be is like, well, what is a lethal dose of fentanyl? Or, oh, my God, could someone have done something to my husband? Did I give him enough? You know, luxury prison shit could be like, I'm, you know, she's hearing the news. She's terrified. So she's like, oh, well, you know, if I'm going to go to prison, what's the best one I could go to? You know, I mean, none of that is really going to work on a jury. But like, you got to try to do something to contextualize it. But
yeah,
like you said, the other ones, brutal.
I don't know. There's a lot of weird around this case, and weird doesn't always mean guilty. And this other piece that's now starting to come into play, again, doesn't mean guilty. What we're about to say here, this person was never charged with anything, and I'm not saying that anything to do with this, but it's just documented history. Corey's mother, allegedly Lisa Darden, an unsealed search warrant revealed that Darden's romantic partner died of an oxy overdose in 2006.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Shortly after naming Darden as the beneficiary, the detective wrote, it's possible Darden was involved in planning Eric's death. Darden was present the night Eric died. No charges have been filed against her. She's innocent. She's not been charged. This is a little odd. I mean, when you're looking, I guess it's an odds game to me here. You know, obviously, in the world that we live in, we probably all know someone or know of someone, depending on how far out, that has died of an overdose of some sort. But to have two people this close to your degree of separation, a partner, and then the partner of your daughter, both dying of overdoses of illicit drugs. The odds are got to be a little high. Like, you don't have good odds of this being something that's going to happen to you in your lifetime, maybe even once and then twice. Again, not saying anything. I'm just saying it doesn't look very good. If that gets admitted in here, what's your take on that? And again, we're not saying she did anything, but it's just, it's like, oh.
Yeah. Like, you got to think, if you're defense counsel, you got to think long and hard how that thing plays out. Like, if they decide to make mom an alternate suspect.
Well, I mean, it doesn't make her an alternate suspect, or does it make her like an influencer of someone who may have said, you know, honey.
I'm going beyond that.
Yeah.
And I'm putting it on fucking mom. Like, I didn't do it. My fucking
But she's
mom.
Good with mom. But then mom is the person who she wrote the walk the dog letter to as well. So it's kind of like a, you know, again, it's fucking weird.
It's fucking weird. But I'm just saying, if they have if they have the opportunity to point the finger at somebody else, and Corey's like, sorry, mom, you know, I mean, but that could absolutely, that's the fucking nuclear option, right? It just is. It's like, because that, like the people in the, on the jury are going to be like, oh, this bitch. Now she's throwing her mom under the bus. Well, really?
But like, Bob, I mean, could the prosecution use it not to say that mom did it, but that
it's this a pattern
an influence as an influence, basically,
I mean,
what do I do, mom? I'm unhappy. Well, I saw this happen once
in family.
I can't see them being able to get that in.
No,
it seems going to fall under 404B stuff.
No.
Not her prior bad acts.
So it would be the defense that would have to choose to bring it.
The defense would have to try to bring it in. It's like a third party culprit type deal, man, which
doesn't work.
It doesn't work. It'll like, that would just explode in your face. The jury would be, because, you know, like, you're going to double that up with the book, the children's book about grieving your recently deceased parent. And then you're going to have her now pointing the finger at her own mother, saying, well, you know, my mom, yeah, this is kind of what she does.
And, you know, it's like
money and whatever. I don't know.
I think it's one of those things where the jury, after they render their verdict, goes back and reads the full context of the case. And they're like, holy shit. You know, and either that's a holy shit, like, oh, God, we made the right call, or holy shit, I wish we had more context.
Yeah. I mean, to me, like, probably the best play if you're trying to figure out as the defense, because again, I don't see how the state would ever be able to get that in. But from the defense side of it, you know, you're not going in with the sledgehammer. You're going to try to go in with like a scalpel, and you're going to be like, look, okay, like I'm not going to point at my mother and say that she's the one who did it. But what I'm going to say is this investigation was incomplete, because the reality is that she has this history where there's some question of what may have happened here, and it seems problematic. And this, again, is the defense. And you're trying to sit there and you're saying, look, they didn't investigate that fact. And when you couple the fact that there's some kind of potential history attached with my mother to this type of thing happening, and the fact that my mother was at the house that night, just really kind of shows you, can you trust the investigation? So you try to steer it less from pointing the finger at mom and more towards, okay, there were other possibilities here that law enforcement just failed to look into. You know, I mean, like, that's the softest blow, or maybe you're not getting the massive pushback that you would if you're just pointing the finger at mom and trying to throw her under the bus.
And there's a lot that can be argued over there. Her defense attorney has said that's a conspiracy, that there's no way that could be. And it's also been noted that her previous partner, the one who died of the OD, had been a user for a while. There was a quote from somebody involved in this that allegedly was saying that at the time of the death, though, they weren't in an active recovery state. And that could also be taken two different ways, too. So it's a big if. The proximity is what makes it weird to me. The odds of this being that someone is that close, just they're not good. But people win the lottery, too. You know, it's things, odds do happen in different situations.
Yeah.
So many questions. We'll be covering the case here on the channel, and we'll be giving you live courtroom coverage on the podcast, and of course, updates throughout the week. Are you guys covering it over there on Defense Diaries, Bump?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. See, my problem is we're doing this Colin Gray trial, which is going to butt up against it, because that's a very, very important case. Like, when you kind of like sent me what we were going to chat about, I'm going to put that on the list for next week, because the end result of that, if they find this father guilty of second degree murder, is historic in the sense that it's never been done in this country. The Crumbleys got nailed with, you know, the involuntary manslaughter, but this is different.
And I saw your tweet about that yesterday, and my thought was, okay, how is this different than the Crumbleys? And that's a good question, and I think a lot of people are wondering that, so we'll talk about that next week.
Cool.
When you're on. But Defense Diaries, go check it out. Podcast, wherever you get podcasts, YouTube, go press subscribe right now to Defense Diaries and check that out. Give us your thoughts on this case in the comments section on YouTube or on Substack. The links are in the description. We'll continue our conversation there. Until next time, for Todd, for Stacy, for Bob, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
What's up, Boos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car look in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.